Hang on 1 second. Just don't say anything for a second.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're Skyping with Andrew Hackard, the Munchkin Czar. He's a returning guest, and this time he's here to talk about gender representation in tabletop gaming.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Tim Wick.
Hey, hey.
And we are recording amazingly long distance via Skype with previous guest, Andrew Hackard.
Andrew Hackard.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, Hack?
It's going well. It is too damn hot down here.
Oh, man. You're in Austin, yeah?
Yeah.
Oof.
It's pretty hot up here, so I can't even think about how it's like down there.
So if you guys might remember, we had Hack on previous episode. He is the, I believe your title is Munchkin Czar.
That is, in fact, my title.
And he works for Steve Jackson Games, and he is my cousin. And we are going to talk about gender and representation in the tabletop gaming industry.
Whoa, that sounds like a heavy topic.
And I should point out that I am a dude, so...
He is a dude.
Yeah, so anything I say about women is completely uninformed.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Or at least comes from, or at least comes from a dude's perspective, which, you know,
that's fair.
Is imperfect.
Is right. It's yeah.
And I do have a sister. Molly is correct about that. So
it's true, and a mother. And all kinds of
allegedly,
ladies.
Allegedly.
All kinds of ladies.
So, obviously, gender and representation in tabletop gaming is something that I've dealt with in my career, and I've talked about it before. How have you've been in the industry, what, something like 20 years?
16 years.
16 years. So how have you seen the shift? I mean, has there, first of all, I guess I should say, has there been a shift? Have you seen more female gamers? Has there been more of a trend toward inclusivity?
Both sides, too. Yeah. In the players, but also on the creators.
Absolutely. We had women in my game group all the way back in college, which was a long time ago. So it's never been that unusual for me. But it's one of those things that just women weren't as represented online. So when I was online in gaming forums and so on, you didn't see as many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're seeing is a lot more of an effort by women to be more visible and by men to make sure women get more visible. Unfortunately, we're also seeing a backlash.
Yeah, because, you know, whenever someone's comfortable privilege gets questioned, they start to see that as a decrease of their rights.
Sure. From the industry side, I will say, with a couple of really regrettable exceptions, all I have seen are people welcoming people of all genders, sexualities, backgrounds into gaming on the development side, on the creative side.
Yeah, I felt that way too. The only backlash I've ever felt came not from industry people or inside the community, but from actual end users. And it was in that casual, you know, I want to talk to the guys that worked on this game. Like, oh, well, I'm one of the guys that worked on this game. Well, no, I want to talk to one of the guys that worked on this game. You know, like they just don't see me as an authority. And maybe it's not anything to do with my gender, but maybe it's because I am, you know, cute and bubbly and blonde. And therefore, it's like, oh, well, this idiot doesn't know what she's talking about. She's clearly just here to man the sales floor.
All the women I know in IT, that's can I talk to someone?
Your supervisor.
Can I talk to a guy?
Yeah. Yeah, so it is. I've been working with women at SJ Games since I started 16 years ago. I don't know that we've ever had 50-50 parity, but I know there are lots of very competent women I've been very pleased to work with.
Yeah, do you find that at Steve Jackson, like, how, I mean, not to be like tell us all the women at Steve Jackson, but like, are there more men than women working at Steve Jackson?
There are more men than women, and I think that's been true the whole time I've been there. I don't know that there's any specific reason for it. There's certainly no push to exclude women.
Sure. Do the women at your company work more in the traditionally female dominated fields like accounting and sales and marketing, or are there content developers too?
We definitely have women on the content side. We've got a really good production artist who is a woman. We've got several of our project manager type people. It's not their exact title.
Sure.
Who are women. I work with a woman on the Munchkin team who's doing all of our licensing.
Oh, cool.
It is.
I'm not going to Gen Con this year, but the reason you brought this up was because there's a whole butthurt kerfuffle happening about the Gen Con industry insider track this year.
That is a really good way to phrase that.
I think butthurt kerfuffle is just going to be what I call the internet from now on.
I just decided to name this episode Butthurt Kerfuffle. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I bet it'll make people listen.
I'm pretty sure it will.
So it's funny because the reason people are mad is there's 25 panelists and 13 of them are women. And yes. Which is... And
so that's one more than half.
I know.
Whoa.
Oh, I know.
It's crazy. Full disclosure, I did apply to be one of those panelists and I was not accepted.
What?
It's okay. It's a fantastic panel.
You know what I usually do when that happens to me is I blame the patriarchy. So you should just blame the patriarchy.
I'm totally okay with that.
It's men keeping you down, Hack. But it's funny. It reminded me of this, the quote by the notorious RBG when she says, you know, they ask me how many women need to be on the Supreme Court before it's enough. And I say 9.
Right.
And people are shocked, and then she's like, "You weren't shocked when it was 9 men."
Exactly. And so I think it's super funny that like when 13 out of 25 are women, suddenly this is like, well, now this is too much. Like this is clearly, even though women are more than 50% of the population, we are representing them too fairly.
So, I mean, and if you just search on Gen Con Industry Insider 2016, you can pull up a page with all of their profiles. These are women with legitimate credits and legitimate work in the industry. It is not we're filling out a panel with our favorite chicks.
So is it because I haven't researched this butthurt kerfuffle, but is it predominantly people in the industry complaining because like they're not getting on the panel
or is it
end users complaining that there are too many women talking about games? Let me back up for a second and say too many qualified women talking about games. Is that what we're talking about here?
That's exactly what we're talking about, are people who looked at the panel and said, well, you obviously just went, you have 25 slots, you just picked 13 women and then filled it out with 12 guys. And, I mean, the guys are no slouches either, if you look at the list.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the idea that they were like, oh, you got these 13 women, and then you said, okay, well, here's the level of the women. So we got to make sure that we don't put any guys on there that are better than that.
You know what would be awesome is if the 12 dudes were just like, buff, dumb Chippendales guys who knew nothing about gaming, and like anytime they're asked, it's like, I like Monopoly and Risk, you know, like really basic.
They're like Chris Hemsworth from Ghostbusters.
What's your favorite game mechanic? I like when you can be the wrench.
I like dice.
I play a fighter.
Yeah.
About the Industry Insider program, if people don't know, it literally is a whole track of panels that's just usually 2 to 5 industry professionals talking about their experiences and a wide variety of topics. And I've been looking over the topic list this year, and if I weren't tied to my booth, I would be at probably about half of these panels if I could.
Yeah.
Would you be at more if there were fewer women on them?
If they would untie me from the booth, sure.
When did you stop beating your wife, Hack?
So it's mostly the players or the consumers who are... It's only the players or the consumers that seem to have an issue with this, and not all of them, by all means, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and many people it's definitely not even a majority of them. It's a few loud ones who...
Sad puppies.
Seem to think, and it's possible, I guess, that someone who got turned down went to their fan base and said, "You guys should go bitch about this." But
or maybe even didn't say, "You guys should go bitch about this." Probably said, "Well, turns out they're focusing more on women this year, so I guess that's why I didn't get in." And then fans take that as
more. I have problems with that statement, and I know that's how people are probably saying it. Some of them, they're more women because, like, if it was 12 and 13 flipped the other way, then it would be like, there's more women as in more than before.
Yep.
But now it's there's more women as in, yeah, I guess, like, one more.
Yeah. Yep. It's
why are there so many women? There's 12 women.
Well,
something I never imagined nerds complaining about when I was a 13-year-old playing Dungeons and Dragons in a tent is, there's too many women around here. Yeah. There's too many women who share interests with me and like are passionate about the things I'm passionate about.
I totally do not understand the nerd rage about this. It's like these are guys who could not get a date in high school, and now they are surrounded by people who share their interests and they're pissed about it.
It has been shocking to me my whole life how guys will gatekeep me from and, you know, check my card and determine I'm a fake geek girl or whatever because I can't rattle off, you know, the stats of all, you know, 150 fucking Pokemon or whatever it is that is the reason is amazing. Cause like, I remember when I was 14 and I was reading comics, I was reading a Milk and Cheese in the hallways and this dude was like, "Oh, hey, Milk and Cheese, that's a pretty good comic." And I was like, "Yeah, I actually really like Evan Dorkin's writing." And he was like, "Do you read?" And like listed a bunch of other titles. I was like, "No, I pretty much just read like this and then Sandman and X-Men." And he was like, "Oh, you read like three comics? I thought you liked comics, fucking girls." And like walked away.
What? Whoa. Oh, this is the first time I'm hearing this story. Yeah, this is awesome.
We were literally the only two people in our class of 49 that really read comics, which was what was so amazing to me that it was just like, and then like it took like another year before of me still reading comics in public for him to be like talking to me about comics and then like conveniently forgetting, you know, the previous conversations and stuff and asking me out. But it's just so funny that it's like, yeah, I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand gatekeeping at all. I really don't. I don't care. I don't know why you care.
Who gives a shit? If you like Star Wars, what does it matter how many fucking times you watched it?
It's, you know what it is? It's a fragile ego thing where people who have been, made fun of or punished or whatever for their interest being outside the norm, that is how they now think of themselves as special or as more, is these fucking muscle-bound jocks don't get me, these mouth breathers don't get me, I'm unique, this is what my enjoyment in this is, what makes me unique or what makes me special, and the fact that anyone could like this thing is threatening, and the fact that someone who I share an identity with, or I don't think is, you know, someone who is this other, in this case women, trying to steal my identity away, it's totally a like they took her gerbs situation.
Yeah, I mean, there was a Facebook thread I was reading just a couple days ago where somebody started listing off all the women who were involved with role-playing development all the way back to D&D in the very early days.
Yeah,
it's not all of a sudden these women are jumping into the industry. They've been there since the beginning.
I mean
you got
girls don't like to play pretend, you know. only us guys like to have our little fantasy worlds with our swords and our magic wands. Girls
women have no imagination. That's a well-known fact.
We're not funny either.
I mean, what you said right now wasn't funny. So,
QED. QED. You don't know what that means because you're a girl, but QED.
So I wanted to ask, you know, I mean, this whole kerfluffle aside, Molly is a gamer.
Not her kerfluffle.
I mean, you've been a gamer, you know, most of your life.
Me? Yeah.
Yeah. As for you, is representation, how important is that, that there's been more representation creeping into gaming?
Oh, for me, I'm a bad example because that shit's never important to me. Okay. I don't know. I grew up gender traitor. I am a gender traitor. I grew up with all guy friends and my brother, and like I have identified with more male characters than female characters in my life, just because that's just, whenever, you know, those dumb tests where it's like, we'll tell you what gender you are based on how you answer these questions. I almost always get male. It's just, so I've never had that. I've never had a lot of camaraderie with women, but like in that, like, you know, we're all doing this, you know, but it's been important for me in terms of like, seeing how few, like, okay, so when I started at Fantasy Flight Games, I was the first woman to ever be in sales. And at the time, this was like 5.5 years ago, honestly, there were probably only like 9 or 10 women in the whole company of like 90 people. Mm-hmm. And that has grown, but not really, like, it's only really grown proportionally, like as the company's grown. And just the other day at work, our bathroom's clogged. And so Jeremy was like, you know, can you message the girls?
Friend of the show, Jeremy Stomberg. Yeah,
message all the women and let them know the bathroom's clogged. Make sure. And I was writing all their names in the email. And I ended and I was like, is that it? And I mentally went through each room, you know, and was like, okay, and there's her and her. Okay, her and then her and her. Okay, yep, this is it. And it was like 9 women.
Yeah.
On the creative side, on the studio side, which is, you know, and so it's things like that that are always surprising to me because it feels like there's more of us, but there's not. So I think representation is important because if we had it proportional to the number of men in the industry versus the number of women, if it really was proportional, not to the population, but to the industry, I don't think a lot of women would be coming to the industry as often. And I think we need it. Like we need that sense of balance.
Well, I agree. And I'm thinking even more, I didn't phrase the question correctly. I'm thinking like in the games themselves.
Oh,
can, you know, even if you normally would pick a male character, is the fact that there are more opportunities to play a female character if you want.
Oh, totally.
Important.
And they're not just healers with big tits.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Like Dead of Winter.
<They're not. laughs>
Like Dead of Winter. There's girls and there's sure. guys.
I will point out there's still no game where there's only female characters.
Yeah.
Other than like, you know, Dream Date or those terrible things.
But I think on this podcast, we've come up with a really good idea, which would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court.
Ooh.
There you go.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'd play the board game.
This is something I don't believe, but heck, Molly, I'm going to play.
God is real.
I'm going to play.
Jesus is the truth.
Butthurt kerfuffle, devil's advocate here, right?
All right.
Okay.
Butthurt the shit out of it.
And I'm going to say, this is an argument I've totally heard, seen people use online in, you know, Twin Cities geeks communities, stuff like that. So the majority of people who are consuming the products are men. Yes, women do. Yes, women. No one's saying all.
They're buying them for their boyfriends though.
Right. Kids. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or their kids.
It's gifts or, you know, whatever. So
they're male children.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a problem with an imbalance in the creative side? Or is it any surprise that women aren't really flocking to the industry or looking to do it? And even, is it right to I don't want to say rig, but let's say rig, because that's a word that someone else would use, to rig a panel like this to be mostly women when that doesn't represent the people who work on the games or the people who play the games as statistically accurately?
Well, what we don't know is how many women applied versus how many men applied.
These are the top 25 candidates.
Yeah. So if 13 women applied and 100 men applied and they took 13 women and 12 men, that might be a problem. But there's 13 qualified women.
Genuinely, in this instance with the panels, it genuinely could be, these are the top 25 candidates. Wow, what good fortune that 13 of them were women. Like, that's astonishing this time. But I will say, in terms of the representation aspect of it, I know for a fact my company does not go out of its way to not hire women.
Okay.
I know that. Sure. Where we just recently had a game developer position open up and we filled it. And I'm willing to bet that out of the 100 or so applications we got, probably only about 10% were from women. I mean, really, because, but then you get into this whole, like, you know, now we're arguing systemic gender bias and, like, is it because they grew up thinking they couldn't do this? Is it because the classes that they were encouraged to take didn't teach them those skills? Mm-hmm. I mean,
or it is a lack of women in the production and development of games. Why there are fewer women interested in playing them and stuff? Is this a chicken and egg situation? Mm-hmm. We have it reversed. Mm-hmm. But it could be
very possible. I mean, if women have not been encouraged to play these kinds of games for decades now, which, again, does not match all of my experience, but I will say I think I saw more men playing than women.
We haven't been encouraged. I will say that straight up. As a woman, you are not – as a girl, you're not encouraged to play these kinds of games. It is definitely a boys' thing, and not from the other kids, but from the parents. Oh, you're playing that? Oh, you want what? Oh, you're going to the comic shop? Like, I mean, all that stuff. Even if your parents are cool with it, like, you're still weird. And everyone lets you know you're weird, that you're not into horses and planning your wedding.
I mean, when I first started playing D&D and I was 9 or 10 years old, my sister came and played. And she played once or twice. She's like, no, this isn't for me. And went off and did something else.
Probably planned her wedding or rode horses.
Or looked at catalogs with baby clothes in them. Those sorts of girl stuff
that we do.
Yeah.
Masturbate.
I did a lot of that. are you guys familiar with Adam Ruins Everything, a YouTube channel guy? He just talks about, you know, whatever the topic is. He has a topic that I think it's about the video game industry, but I think it applies to this, and it's why people think video games are just for boys. And it talks about how there was an advertising shift around the Nintendo Entertainment System started to get popular. That was the marketers saying, "Wait a minute, is this for boys or for girls? Sell it to boys." And they changed there's a marketing change where the early ads and the early stuff was kind of for kids. It's the Famicom, the family computer is the original title. And it is just this great video. I'd highly recommend it, but it talks about how it was the salespeople who gendered video games.
Even today on Amazon, when we list games, when I used to work with Amazon, to list a game, you have to decide, because games fall under the toys category. Mm-hmm. And for the toys category, you have three options: boys, girls, or unisex babies.
What?
That's what. Yep.
Is it unisex / babies?
Unisex M-dash babies. Like unisex / babies.
I didn't know Amazon sold unisex babies.
So the only toys that are for baby that are unisex are for babies.
Oh.
And then otherwise, toys are either for boys or for girls.
And they haven't changed that yet?
No. And you have to pick one. And none of that data is overt. That is all cataloging data for them, so that when you click toys for boys in the Christmas lists or whatever categories, you'll get a lot of board games and strategy games. And if you click toys for girls, you'll get whatever the fuck people put for that. And so when we had to pick, and I was saying, what do we do? And my boss, Brian, who was like, it sucks. You know, he's strong feminist. He's like, it sucks, but we have to say boys. Because if we say girls, no one will buy them for boys. They will think they are girls-only toys. But if you put it for boys, people think, oh, these are for boys, but my daughter will probably like it too. So it becomes this weird thing where, like, this is a weird thing in the industry. I don't know about you guys at SJ Games, but, like, most of our games, rule books and stuff, use the singular pronoun he. Because
it is actually written into our style guide that is what we do.
Yep. And I'm all for it. I honestly am, because it's easier, and he or she is terrible. We've done a couple rule books with the singular they, but it becomes very, very complicated when you're talking with like really difficult rules, and you can't just keep, and you don't have the space to keep repeating the player, a player, a player. So you have to use something shorter. And we've gotten, you know, and I think, and I've even said in meetings, like, as a girl, you become accustomed to seeing he and knowing, well, they mean me too. And I think it's very similar to, we had Greg Parks on, and he talked about, you know, being black and watching all this media where everything's white and how you can identify with a white character, even though that's not you or your life, but you have to, because there's no one else. And it's this similar thing where you're like, I'm reading a role play book, and it's like, if a player wants to blah, 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 he this and that, and then he takes his this and he does that. I'm not like, oh, this isn't for me. But some girls might have been. I don't know.
I don't think that's... I don't think it's unreasonable to think that that has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that when I had been working on Munchkin sets, I try to write a lot more in the plural. Players may do this and then they.
Plural.
When I did examples of play in the various rule sheets, I would actually write in named characters so I could use real pronouns, including at least one that was two women playing the game.
See, and like, yeah, I actually pointed this out. I'm like, it's funny because if we ever did a rule book where we, like, because we thought about this actually at work, where it's like, what if, like, one game we always say he and then the next game we always say she? And it's like, if we did a game where it was all she, people would fucking lose it. And we would.
Different examples within the same book you just
changed.
We
don't often do examples. So usually it's, yeah.
I know Wizards does that with D&D.
They switch back and forth.
Yeah, they switch gender pronouns.
Yeah, we don't do that because then people get confused.
And stuff,
And it's very funny in that sense. Real quick, you when we were talking about doing this episode, you did a survey of Munchkin fans.
I did. It was about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
I wanted to know lots of different things, but really I wanted to know one specific thing, and I sort of put a lot of other questions around it to hide that.
Genius.
Because we have Munchkin, I will say Munchkin's a cis-normative, heteronormative game.
Yeah.
It was written 15 years ago. It reflects the time that it was written. And every so often we hear from people who say, you know, I don't feel like this game really is as inclusive as it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one really heartbreaking letter from a mother who said, I have a transgender child, and this card that says curse change sex really hurt my child.
Oh,
she
man.
Actually,
yeah, I was thinking of
mailed,
exactly
yeah.
that when you brought that
yeah.
up. Yeah.
She mailed the card back to us and said,
good.
I can't have this in my game.
Good. Well, I mean, I get that completely.
Sure. So in the survey, one of the questions that I asked was just sort of in a little demographic section was about gender.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of what's your gender, I said, which most closely describes your gender? And then I gave them seven choices.
Nice.
Basically cisgender male, transgender male, cisgender female, transgender female, gender fluid, non-binary, agender, or I prefer not to answer.
Cool.
And most people, I had a lot of people who just skipped the question. I had some people, probably about 20%, who specifically were like, I don't want to answer this question. I don't see what's mm-hmm. relevant. A very small percentage of the people actually chose the non-cisgender option, which was, it's about what I expected.
Yeah.
Given the population. What I didn't expect were some of the comments.
Interesting.
There were people who said, literally took the time to say, I can't answer this question because there is no male option. I'm not cis anything. I'm not trans. I'm just male.
I'm just male.
Oh, give me a
dude,
fucking
then you're a cis male, you fucking asshole.
Oh my God, what a douchebag.
I never heard that from somebody who said, I'm just female. I will point that out.
That's because I genuinely think that's because in larger numbers, not overwhelmingly by any means, but in larger numbers, women are more supportive of trans women than cis men are supportive of trans men or trans women.
No, I think
that's just
right.
Like a civil rights allies thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think in general, marginalized communities are more supportive of other marginalized communities.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, in general, the atheist community as a marginalized community is more supportive of the transgender community, the GBLTQ community,
yeah.
the
Ooh. You know what my favorite new acronym for that is?
Yeah.
Quilt bag.
Quilt bag?
Quilt bag.
QLTBG?
It's like queer, ungendered, asexual, trans. It's the whole lesbian, yeah, transgender.
Yeah, yeah.
It fits all the letters together into a word. And I stole that from someone on Facebook. I'm like, oh, that's in the dictionary from now on. Sorry to hijack. Yes, yeah. Quilt bag. Right.
So that's
interesting.
Well, so that's, I mean, that's, I want to say that's surprising. It's surprising to me that people are rebelling against this cis thing, but like, I also have,
I'll point out, it was a very small number of people who actually put that in there, but the ones who did were vehement about it and were,
but the fact
really
there was more
off.
Than one of them, just mm-hmm. baffling.
So at Convergence this year, Hack, we had all gender bathrooms that the con arranged with the hotel and chose a few bathrooms and put signs that said all genders welcome, you know, anyone at any time, this bathroom. And the what I saw was great, because at one point it was like, you know, 1 a.m. And I went in the bathroom, and there was a woman in there that, if I had to guess, I'd say she was probably trans, but I might be wrong. And then there were two cis hetero, like, white dudes that came behind me. I know they were hetero because they were constantly talking about banging chicks while they were going to the bathroom.
Like you do.
And so I guess they could have been bi.
That's actually a violation of cis male bathroom etiquette. I just want to point that out.
They could have been, maybe they were bi. But, and we all peed and everyone went home. And it was great. And
I went to Kineticon last weekend and had exactly the same experience.
Amazing. It's weird. But more of what I saw was like, you know, dudes, I would come out of one of these bathrooms and there would be a guy like kind of hovering like, and like kind of trying to peek in. And I was like, bro, you can go in there. Anyone can go in there. They'd be like, yeah. Well, then we found out later, a lot of guys didn't, they were looking for urinals and they didn't know it. They didn't know if their all gender bathroom had urinals. And so it was kind of they were trying to see in there. And this is, as a cis female, it has never occurred to me that a urinal would be a necessary thing. Cause don't you,
it's
don't
a total urinals, deal breaker.
You don't have urinals in your house. So like,
I don't understand the have to use after Convergence, people were writing on the signs, like this one has a urinal.
Yeah.
This one doesn't have a urinal. I get like more information knowing what your options are when some people might not want to go into a bathroom with a urinal because urinals are gross.
Oh, they stink.
And like it increases your chances of seeing dick. Like maybe you just want to you want like a zero chance of seeing dick,
even though
I don't see a lot of dick at urinals, but you know, whatever.
Whenever so, I'm going
you're
to
just not going to the right urinals.
I'm looking. I'm on a dick hunt.
so like I get like more information, but the way it was being posted and the way it was being talked about was clearly like I'm angry that
Or at least I'm uncomfortable with the new order of things. Like I'm chafing against the modernity.
Being uncomfortable is how you grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went into one that was a men's room that had been turned into an all gender. And there were urinals, and I used one. And then I went to wash up, and I realized I was standing next to a woman washing our hands. And I went to another that was a women's room, because it had no urinals, and walked out. And there were a couple of women adjusting their costumes, and I washed up and left. And it was not a thing.
Was there a couch in that second one? Because then I guarantee it was a woman's room.
Yeah, because
it was a convention center, so there was no couch.
Ah, okay.
Guys don't get couches.
You know why guys don't get couches? Because we don't have a line for our bathroom that's so long that your feet hurt by the time you get to the end.
I would say.
Also, if guys' restrooms had couches, we would pee on them.
I was going to say.
Someone would pee on them. These are all fair. You guys don't
have couches because you're not nursing babies usually. And also, they don't need one more place for you to masturbate.
Disagree.
All right, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much, cuz it is time for five questions.
Five questions.
I am happy. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, have you answered our new five questions?
I have not.
Awesome. Okay, all right. Well, then it is time. Tim, give us question one.
Question number one. What is a movie you will stop and watch any time it's on?
Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
Right on.
Khan.
Needs of many. Outweigh.
Yeah, I approved that one recently.
Yes.
What did you think of the, are you a fan of the Abrams verse?
I really do like them. They have some problems, but.
So do the originals.
It's a, no, absolutely. I am looking forward to Star Trek Beyond this weekend as we record.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Oh, I'm so sad though.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I think that, I thought the Khan, the Spock Kirk, like role reversal thing in the Wrath of Khan, like, I loved that. That touched my heart. I shed a tear.
Yep, me too.
But we have a lot of friends that hated
the I
enjoyed it, but it's not Wrath of Khan. It really isn't.
It was
telegraphed. They said it wasn't Wrath of Khan the whole time.
I know.
Question two is, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
This is going to be a little bit of a long answer. Have you guys talked about the Fiasco role-playing game
before? I don't think so, no.
It's an indie RPG. It's designed to be you and three or four friends sit down and play it in an evening and you're done. It's by Bully Pulpit Games, and they sort of describe it as Coen Brothers the RPG.
Yeah. All right.
Because you are setting up a situation and then you describe how it goes completely to hell. That's the background. For Will Wheaton's 40th birthday party, a game designer friend of mine, Will Heinmarch, and I wrote a Fiasco setting for his birthday called The Body.
Oh, shit. Are you serious?
Totally serious. And then I went and I printed...
In case you don't know, that is the name of the Stephen King short story on which Stand By Me is based.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
Will Wheaton starred in.
Right.
Yep. So I then went to Kinko's and I printed three copies. Both Wills have one and I have the third.
Ha! That's awesome. That is an awesome prized possession. Leave that to me and your Will.
Okay.
And then, no, don't do that. Yeah. If you do that, she will kill you.
Yeah. And then he'll haunt me.
Caught, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they did Fiasco on tabletop, I think.
They did. Yeah. It was first season. It was one of the best two-part episodes that they did. It really showed off the game well.
Is it a newer game?
It's been out, I want to say, 5 or 6 years.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, for RPGs, that's pretty new.
Right.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to play that.
I
that
just
sounds Google great.
It. 2009.
Let's do that shit. A game in one night sounds awesome.
Yeah. A powerful...
There's hundreds of what they call play sets, which is basically adventure modules.
Hmm. A game of powerful ambition and poor impulse control inspired by the cinematic tales of small-time capers gone disastrously wrong.
Awesome.
Sorry. Huh. I mean,
all right, question number three is, what mythical or supernatural being do you wish was real?
Hello?
Hello.
Okay. Did you hear me?
I did not hear you, sorry.
No problem. I said, question number three, which supernatural or magical being do you wish was real?
So, my smart-ass answer, because the Republicans are having their convention right now, I would love to have the Jesus who threw the money changers out of the temple and turn him loose in Cleveland.
Yes!
That's great.
Fucking, taking Jesus.
Absolutely. The longer term answer is actually not a being, but I would love to have transporters.
Ooh.
Transporters are the greatest idea that don't exist yet.
It's just to put it in a magical context, you can just say teleportation spells.
Yeah, yeah. Boom.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
No, and my kids, whenever we do the would you rather, and the regular thing is like, which superpower would you rather have, you know, flight or teleportation? I'm like, teleportation? Yeah. What a dumb fucking question.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Would you rather get there now or in a while?
Like, yeah. I mean, flying would be cool. Don't get me wrong. If I had other options versus flying, I might pick flying. But seriously, teleportation.
I mean, we have flying now. It just sucks.
We have flying.
It's just you got to pay for your luggage.
Yeah. So,
teleportation means you walk into Best Buy and you load up your arms, then you're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, a person with lesser morals would do that.
You pay for it for maybe not. Anyway,
bastard.
Question number four. Question number four, which is, say religion is gone, what is the biggest problem that would now face mankind?
So, I live in Texas, And I used to be a teacher, so you may have seen the absolute shit show that is our state education system. So it's education.
Yeah,
education is a good one. I feel like, and I've said this before, when you live in a country where college boy is an insult, you're gonna have some problems with
education. I mean, it is. If we could get religion out of the education system in Texas, first of all, we need an entire new state board.
Well, yeah.
But
all new textbooks.
Yeah. We would probably have a generation's work undoing the damage they've done.
If Rick Perry is so goddamn into getting rid of abortion, maybe he should do a little sex education. God, I get mad about abortion.
It bothers me that intellectual elite is considered an insult.
Yeah. Our president graduated top of his class from Harvard. What an asshole.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Thinks he's better than everyone. Well, yes, he does, because he ran for president, dumbass. Like, he wants to be the president. He should think he's better than everyone else.
In fairness, would he have gotten it at Harvard if they didn't have quotas?
Oh man. Well, at least he wasn't. At least he wasn't a woman, because that's the only reason Michelle Obama has anyone even cares, is because she's a woman. Oh, sorry. This trolling brought to you by the patriarchy.
Question number five. Final question. What is your favorite quote?
So, again, because of what's going on in Cleveland, I was going to say fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, but that movie never happened. So I can't. So I'm going to go with a quote that is allegedly by Voltaire, a response to a reviewer of one of his work. He wrote back, "I am sitting in the smallest room in my house. I have your review in front of me. Very soon it will be behind me."
That's awesome.
I try to remember that whenever I read bad reviews of anything I've worked on or anything I've enjoyed.
Oh man, tell me that. I've only been doing this. I've been doing this job now for a year and 3 months, and I am now experiencing the joy of going on The Geek and seeing people say completely wrong and terrible things about the game I made. And,
sure.
Or even just now. So my game I made, Journey to Mordor, just got announced, and
congratulations.
Thank you. And the majority, it's a fun little dice game that, we got from Robert Hyde and we made, and it's great. But the majority of the comments are on Reddit are like, fuck this game. Like, looks like FFG just, grabbed some this and slapped a this on it. I guess they were all just sitting around trying to figure out how can we make more money off this? Or how can we take Elder Sign and make it worse? And I'm like, man, also I like Harsh. Elder Sign. Come on, guys. That's one of my favorite games.
So we just, over this past weekend, we just announced Batman the Animated Series Dice Game.
Wow. Congratulations. And that's awesome.
Most people are just like, that's awesome. That's great. I can't wait. There are a few who are like, oh, great. You're just reskinning zombie dice and selling it to us. Yep. I'm like, well, one, zombie dice is a kick-ass game. And two, it's fuck Batman.
You. Don't you love it when they haven't even, all that's happened is, there's been an announcement and, maybe a little bit of the rules from marketing. They haven't even played it yet, but they know all about it.
Batman TAS is, probably my favorite Batman, I think.
It's a damn fine Batman
It was good. It was noir. It Paul Dini, the voice actors, when I hear Batman, I hear the animated series. When I hear the Joker, I hear, Mark Hamill.
All right. Thank you so much, Hack, for being on the show. If you guys have thoughts about gender and representation in tabletop gaming, you know what? Good or bad? Let's hear them. Bring it on, you rabid puppies who I'm sure are listening to this show what we have to say.
No.
You love perspectives different than your own.
Yeah. Oh. And mouthy broads and feminist men.
I'm a fan of mouthy broads.
Yeah, I bet you are, dirty bitch. thank you so much. As you guys, you may not know this, but Hack here is one of our top Patreon supporters.
Yes,
he is. So, y'all could join that exclusive club, and you could be like, in social circles, be like, oh, Andrew Hackard, the Munchkin Czar, he and I are in the same Patreon circles. So, you know,
we're in a very exclusive club that should be a lot less exclusive.
And then you could smoke your cigar and laugh at, like, you know, the help. And that's what happens when you join these circles of our
Patreon.
That's
true. That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
You can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We post when we think about it and not when we don't, like everybody else on social media.
Yay.
And Nick is whispering something to me.
What's the next thing coming out for Munchkin that people can look forward to?
I wish I could tell you, but we actually have some announcements at Gen Con that we're looking forward to.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah,
right,
that's
so watch
keep
for
an eye out.
Yeah, watch for Steve's announcements at Gen Con.
That's like the first week of August?
Yes, it's August, what, 5th through 9th?
I think it's 5th through 8th, something
fifth
like that.
I got to look at the calendar, but this might be going up that very week. I don't know.
Well, that would
that be
exciting.
Timely?
That'd be awesome.
And while you're there, stop by the Asmodee booth and say hi to people. And you can stop by Steve Jackson Games and say hey to Hack. Tell him Geeks Without God sent you.
He won't give you a sticker because he doesn't
have anything. No, he won't give you anything. But he'll give you a hearty handshake because he's a polite Southerner.
I will give you. I can give them promo cards for Munchkin.
Yay. Promo cards for Munchkin. You heard it here first, people. Thank you so much, Hack. Thank you, listeners. We've been Geeks Without God, and we will see you on the flip side.
Bye.
Yeah.
See ya.
Damn.
Actually, you're not supposed to play these sorts of games because you're a girl, and everyone knows girls don't like violence.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I mean, it's better to have something than nothing.